Amen. Amen. I don't know why, because I don't even really know what it means. What? So be it, right?
Yeah.
So be it. So really, I'm going around saying, so be it. So be it. But amen. I look at it as a praise and a glory and a thank and a word of saying thank you. Thank you. Amen. Thank you. So, Jim, are you up there? You sit. Okay, good. Are we good? We good to go? Okay. Well, welcome everyone that's here. Welcome to the nations. I don't have a list of my nations, Rachel. Okay. Well, thank you for those that are logging on. I'm asking for your support. If you can, you know, hit the PayPal button on our website. And our website, you have it, unless you're listening to a tape that somebody gave it to, that gave you the tape. But the website is glorytothenations.org. And we would love to have you log on, listen to the messages, and if you can, pass it down the line and try to get the word out as many people as we can touch. My reward is greater in heaven. Amen. So be it. Amen. I do this because I'm called to do it, and I have a conviction, because I know if I don't, I'm going to be spanked. And I'm tired. I'm sick and tired of being spanked. So I am now here committing my life to the world to give this message. And tonight I want to speak that about my God, and I'll always continue to talk about my God. And I have experienced a supernatural encounter that changed my life, and there's a book coming out soon, and I hope and pray that it comes out quicker than later. And or is that sooner or later? Both. Quicker, sooner than later. Yes, and have that book come out right away so that the world can first hear my testimony of where I was and how I was able to find God, and how I shouldn't say how I found God. I was searching for him, and he came and found me. He actually came and found me. And eventually I'll explain that, but not tonight. What I want to share is about the mysteries. And this is a mystery, a relationship with something that you can't see, but yet does something to you that just drives you crazy. And it allows you to know that there is someone over you that's watching, that cares for you and loves you and has a plan and a purpose for you, but you can't identify it with a name or you can't identify it with a picture. This is a mystery. And I want to talk about the mysteries. And the mystery has been given to you to know. And that's the beautiful thing. All of us, inside of us, have a knowing of this divine being mystery. And I want to crack it open. I want to crack it open and get you to be as hungry as I was, so that this God that I'm talking about, my God, which I would like to say the universe or the God of the universe or the supreme being of life meets you or comes and gets you. Many are called, but few are chosen. And those that are chosen, I look at as very special. And so if you're listening tonight and you're logged on or you got a tape and you're hearing my voice now, you're special. Very special. And not all of us ever get to be in that place. And so your heart, I can say right now, is in a good place. So never doubt whether you're good or bad, right or wrong. I want you to know with all the confidence in your whole entire being that you're good. You're in the right place. You're, what can I say, ready for harvest. And you're almost like a ripe peach, ready to be eaten. <You're>, that sounds good, doesn't it? And, I can just picture all the juice running down. Has anyone eaten a nice ripe peach? Oh, how's it taste? Good, doesn't it? Ugh. And in God's eyes, my God, in the God of the universe, that's what you're like to him. A ripe, juicy peach. And he sees you, and he's just like, oh. Now there's a mystery to this. How did we get there? What makes God, the universe, to love you like that? And then yet, what is it that causes him to not be bothered with you, even to the point where he says, pew, you're not good enough? And this is a big question. Because the last thing we don't want is, for one, those that are seeking God, not to fall into religion. Please, if you're out there, don't seek religion to find God. Because God dwells inside and he's never a religion. He is life. And even though that we are looked upon as Christians, I don't even want to say that I am a Christian. And that kind of sounds sad, but it's because of the way the world has tainted the original following, I guess you could say, and took it as a common thing. When in reality, Christian derives from Christ. And Christ is not Jesus 2,000 years ago. Christ is the divine nature, the seed that I want to crack, the egg that needs to be reborn, the life that's inside of you that needs breath. And I want to breathe on that egg that's inside of you. I want to breathe and plant that seed and water it so it grows. And religion can't do it. It has to be done only through life. And my God, and this is why I emphasize my God, because it breathed life inside of me. I was dead, and now I'm alive. I had no hope, and now I have hope. If you ask me what is my purpose, to this day I probably still would say, I don't know. But I know. I have an inner knowing that tomorrow something exciting is going to happen. I have an inner knowing that he'll lead my footsteps and direct my path, and I don't have to question because he has given me life and I'm his. And in that, because I'm his, I have a confidence to enjoy life, to look at tomorrow, to can't wait till tomorrow. Some people are like, oh, tomorrow, geez, I got to get up tomorrow. Oh, I don't know, geez, I got to do the same thing tomorrow. I can't wait for tomorrow because I know that something exciting is going to take place. And it may just be there. It may just be sitting there not doing anything. But I know it's going to be exciting because God is life and he's inside of me now. He breathed his breath inside of me. I'm resurrected. I have this thing inside of me that wants to live. And at the same time, I'm not afraid to go and leave this earth. At the same time, I'm done in this physical mortal body. I want to leave this mortal body and go on to my life. See, there's life after this life, and the world needs to understand that. But we can have life now. And this is what it said in the Bible. Let me see that book there. This book here is called the Holy Bible, and this is the closest book that I have come across that bears witness of my life. And in this, one of the things it says is that the kingdom of God is at hand, meaning we don't have to wait until we leave this earthly body to experience life after death, to experience true life, eternal life. And then that's another story in itself. What life are we going to live? A life of misery or a life of, you know, bliss? I hope and pray that we can change the way we're thinking and renew our minds so our heart's renewed, because that's where life is, in our heart, and be able to establish our place in the universe after life. But if we leave now in the condition we're at, our life after that life, our life into the universe, our life after death is going to be not good. And I know that if we're listening to this tape, you're hungry, you're thirsty. If you're hungry and you're thirsty and you're searching for more, you're just like me. If you're hungry and thirsty and looking for more, and then you're over here, I'm going to tell you the condition that you're at. You're sick and tired of being sick and tired. I know it. I have reached levels in my life. I'm going to say mature levels. But I'm still sick and tired of being sick and tired. I want to go deeper. I want to know him the more. I'm hungry. I'm thirsty. I want to reach that level that I know where I can be. Supernaturally. Divine. Holy. Without blame. Righteous. How many people understand what I'm saying here for a second? Good. Because you're made up of a condition. We're all made up of stuff. I want to say matter. Okay, let's take scientific now. I'm not a scientist, and I don't know too much about science. But I do know that matter makes up everything, right? So we're made up of matter. In that matter, we're made up of particles. Those particles, okay, have a makeup. And in that makeup makes up who you are. It actually brings your destiny too. So, for example, I believe this matter and this particle all starts where we receive. Now, how do you receive? Think about it. You're going to have to help me, those that are in the audience tonight. How do we receive information? How do we receive?
Auditory, visual.
Yep. Where's our receptive? Okay, eyes, ears, okay, we take it in that way, okay. And then where does it go from there?
Brain.
Into the brain. So we'll say that your brain is your receptor, okay? We'll bypass the eyes, we'll bypass the nose, we'll bypass the touch, we'll bypass all those physical things, and let's start going into the spirit. So your mind, I want to take your mind as a spirit, okay? Because really, what's in your head that you can actually think that it can obtain information? I mean, there's no pen and paper in there, is there? There's no real filing cabinet in your head. So I want to take your brain as a spirit, okay? One part spirit. One part. And then, where does it go from there? Once your brain receives it, you obtain it, you separate it, you categorize it, and then all of a sudden you either spit it out or you deposit it, right? Okay. When you deposit it, this is a mystery, and I want to talk about mysteries. I want to talk about mysteries tonight because this is a mystery. You look at my life and say, how could this man be the way he is? It's a mystery. How can you have this love for something you can't see or know personally? You can't touch it. You can't do anything with it. But yet you're ruled by it. It leads you. It guides you. It does everything in your whole entire life. It's a mystery. And I want to talk about this mystery. Because you, in itself, cannot have God. God has to come to you. But yet, at the same time, you can draw near to him. You can You can do something to cause him to want to be drawn to you, or you can do something and cause God to avoid you. And I want the world to understand this. Now let's get back to the mystery. Even though that's a mystery. But let's go back to the mystery. You obtained information. Where does it start going? If I don't believe it, where does it go? If I believe it, where does it go? I'm going to work on you tonight, Rachel. I love that face. Since you're the smart one here tonight. Where's it go?
If you believe it, you retain it.
If you believe it, you retain it. If you don't believe it,
dismiss it.
You dismiss it. Okay, that's good. Okay, this is a mystery, right? How do you let something go? It's a mystery. It sometimes happens automatically because that's our nature. Okay? Our nature is made up to receive, and our nature is made up to reject. So we don't have to really put too much thought into it, do we? Okay. But it still has to come through the first spirit. And then it comes to the second. Which that one, nobody knows. This is the one that God dwells in. This is the one where Christ is. This is the place where life is really at, the second spirit. The first spirit is your head. But the second one is where you really are. That's where life is. That's where God is. That's where Christ is. That's where your destiny is. That's where everything is. That's a place. It's a mystery. See, we live in a place now, here in our head, the first spirit. We're alive, we're thinking, we're processing, you know, and we're even putting some stuff in the other place. But most of it is all stored up here. Very, very rare do we start to live here. And this is a mystery. This is where I want you to go. This is where I want to bring you. This is where we need to be in order to have life. But everybody thinks that sometimes they're here, but they're not. They have no idea where this place is. They haven't gotten there yet. But the nature of our makeup puts objects there, and it creates somewhat of a life that leads us and guides us and directs us. But it's not what we have to do to process it to get real life. I'm talking real life. Example. If you lived in a geographical location and you only knew what that geographical location gave you, and you only knew, let's say that that geographical location only had bananas, you would only know bananas. You wouldn't know about that juicy peach I spoke about earlier because they don't have peaches in that geographical location. So you would have no idea what it looks like. You would have no idea what it tastes like. You would have no idea because it wasn't given. You never even searched out. You never even thought about looking for it. Now, let's say a foreigner comes around and says, hey, I found some fruit that looks like this, and it tastes like this, and it's really good. So now what's happening? You're beginning to believe this person. And now all of a sudden you start desiring it, you start searching for it, you start looking for it. You start to be moved. And why is because there is some truth to it. There is a peach, and it does exist. If it never existed, it would be automatically rejected. This is the nature that we're made up of. It's a mystery. So God's design for creation, when he created you, he designed a nature inside of you to hear the truth, to know the truth, and to long for the truth, to hunger for the truth, and to search out the truth. That's why revival is ready to break. Because this is the truth. And the whole world is searching, looking. And as soon as they find it, they will never go back. They will never go. They will never leave. Until it starts to hurt. Until they rather have a banana and they're not being honest with themselves and they're being lied to somewhere along the line and they never come to the true knowledge of what a peach could do for them. Listen to me. This is a mystery. And God is drawing all of us to him. So, in our minds, we are processed. In that, we begin to believe. And this is one of the things that this man, Jesus, said. He says, believe. He kept saying, believe on the words that I say. Believe in the one who was sent. Believe. Believe. Foreign things, usually, we want to reject. Most of the time, we're in a comfort zone and we're afraid and we don't want to get hurt. We don't want to get deceived. This is why I want to say the Bible says, come unto me like a little child. Because a little child hasn't been hurt yet. A little child hasn't experienced rejection. A little child hasn't been lied to yet and been deceived. A little child is innocent. So I'm saying to you, those that are listening, come unto me like a little child. I have mysteries to give you, and these aren't going to hurt you. They're going to give you life. So, believe is very important in order to find God, or for God to find you, I should say. And so when we begin to believe, what begins to start happening? It goes into something. It goes into that place that I began to speak about earlier, here in our heart. It begins to settle into a place, and it creates an atmosphere. What you believe, you become. What you believe, you live it. So it becomes, and it also is life when it gets here. God, when he got here in my heart, not in my head, because before he touched me, I had him in my head. And it didn't do nothing for me. It brought me into different sceneries. It brought me into different crowds. It gave me a sense of hope. It brought me to a place. But it didn't bring me to life. This is what I'm saying. It didn't bring me to a life that changed me. And this life of change is in here in my heart. And this is why it's so important to believe on what I'm saying. And once we begin to believe, there's a war. A war starts. Oh, this is the hardest part. Because you have to tear down your old dwelling place, and then build up a new dwelling place. Everything that you know has to be taken away. And everything that you're going to know, you need to believe. This is a mystery. It's a transformation. It's like I need to rip your heart out and put a new heart in. I need to take away everything that you think you know and hopefully not have to put in so much that you don't know. Makes my job easier. I can skip some courses and classes and things of that nature, but the older we get, the harder it gets, because we've already built a big house. We already built a big home, a big dwelling place with streets and lights and everything. We got to tear all that up. We got to break it all down and then rebuild. And this is a mystery. Who's willing to tear down and rebuild? Amen. By that willingness, by the willingness of your being, is probably the greatest gift that anyone could absolutely have. It's a gift. A gift to say that I am sick and tired of living the life that I'm living, and I am looking for my life. That in itself is the greatest place to be. Most people never reach there. And this is where God begins to come into your life, when you're ready to lose a life and gain a new one. Because you cannot build in an old city. You have to tear down the old city and build a new one. You can't build anything on a new garment. You put an old piece of garment on a brand new piece of cloth, and what does it look like? It don't work. In this book, it talks about this mystery. It talks about putting new wine in a new wineskin. Or putting new wine in an old wineskin, it just won't work. You put new wine in an old wineskin, it'll blow off. It'll blow up, and all the wine will be spilled all over the place. It's a mystery. But it starts where you're ready. I don't even want to talk to those that just don't want to lose their life. I don't want to talk to those. I don't want to be wasting my time or even being bothered with the ones who aren't willing to tear down their old place. I had some people come to me and say, can't you just put a window in it? Can't you just like repair one of my roads? Can you fix this little problem here and I'll be okay? I'm sorry, I can't fix your little problem. Because you'll go right back. If I put a new window in that old house, guess what? That window is going to fall out. And you're not going to have no window at all. It's going to be worse. The rest of the house is falling apart. Why should I put a brand new window in there if the rest of the house needs help too? I'm repairing and wasting my time. Let's just do it right. Let's tear down the whole entire house. Count everything that you know and throw it away. And let's be built on. Listen, you might look in that rubbish pile after you tore everything down and see that one new window that you picked up years ago. It works well, and you might be able to use it in this new house. I'm not saying that you have to throw away everything. Some things are usable, but the majority of it is probably not. And we need to come to a place with an open heart and an open mind, not being stiff-necked or adamant about certain things, but be open to receive so that you can be renewed, so that your heart can be renewed and changed, and then your future, this is all about your future. Depending on how long you have left on this earth or eternity. Some of us may have a long time to go on this earth. And so you will be able to enjoy the fruits of the transformation. And some of us may not have as much time on the earth, but you'll be able to enjoy the fruits of eternity. And that's what I'm talking about. I'm done here on this carnal earth. Me personally, my personal walk in life. I'm done here on this earth. My heart is for eternal. My heart, everything that I do, everything that I apply, everything, my whole being is putting my treasures in that heavenly place. You know, it says in this book, the Bible, it says, why store up your treasures here on earth when moths and rust can eat it and destroy it? Which is so true. He's, you know, store your treasures up in that heavenly place. I don't have any more treasures here on this earth. Even though I may have things, it's different. My heart is not there. My heart is in the kingdom. My heart is in the heavenly place. And my heart is in eternity, which all of our hearts can be there. And in there, you have purpose. You know what you're doing. Even though you might not know it all, but you know. You have a confidence and you have a knowing that can't be persuaded. And no matter if you get hiccups, you laugh at them. Ha ha! It's a hiccup. And you can have joy over the hiccup rather than your whole world falling apart and you can't deal with life anymore. And then the drama comes in. And your emotions are kicking in. And wars and rumors of wars start. How many of us heard about that? Wars and rumors of wars. Arguments. Things that exalts itself over the knowledge of God. Because I know that God is brilliant. He knows tomorrow. He knows the outcome of your life. He knows where you're predestined. He knows your purpose, your plans. And the cool thing about it is when you lay your life down and you begin, the first day you decide to lay your life down and begin, guess what? God instantly kicks in. Instantly. As soon as you're opened and ready to receive, God instantly starts doing miracles, signs, and wonders. The true living God, my God. And there is no other God but my God. There are other gods, I call them false gods, you know, your religious gods and your traditional gods and your head gods. But the heart God, you don't even need to be religious. You could just be a common person out there, just opened. Not adamant, not stiff-necked, but opened. And as soon as your heart is opened, it's like a vacuum. And it just sucks the universe. It just sucks God right in. And he starts working with you. It's the moment when you become stiff-necked. It's the moment when you become all-knowing and prideful is when that door goes and the vacuum shuts off and there's no more universe there and you're lost. But you're deceived because you think you're found because you got the patterns of religion. You got the mind God. You got it all. It's like Where did that feeling go? Where did that fresh air go? It's because of stiff-necked, all-knowing. Not to that point of laying the life down and being open, ready to receive the mysteries. The mystery in itself is a mystery. This is why in this book called the Holy Bible, there's a man called Paul, and he says, I count everything I know as dung so that I would know him the more. What he was saying was, I'm not going to try to say I know anything because life changes by the minute. And all I want to know is him. I just want to know life because God is life. This is a mystery. And as soon as we think we know, that mystery begins to leave us. Now, we can know without a shadow of a doubt, but that needs to be planted. When you start putting things into the kingdom and the kingdom receives it and it's built in the kingdom cannot be shaken. Has anyone ever had a knowing that they know that they know that they know? Well, that went into the kingdom. I want everybody to know that they have a kingdom living inside of them. I'm talking about living there and dwelling in there, making it a life. Now, you have a relationship that you just developed. You know, without a shadow of a doubt, it's good. That moment, you're living in the kingdom. Isn't that nice? There's a joy and there's a peace and there's an excitement. Now take that moment and make it your whole entire life. This is what I'm talking about. And it's possible. You know, there are some people who reach a level of glory in their life. And then that glory fades away. And then they wonder why. But I'm talking about a glory that never fades away. A life that never, never loses that realm of glory. That kingdom is always bright. That kingdom is always exciting. That kingdom is awesome. How many of us want to get there? I praise God for all of you that want to be there. I pray for those that want to be there. There's a man in his book named Jesus. And he says, I don't pray for the whole world. I only pray for the ones that you sent me. And I feel the same way as he did. I don't pray for the whole world. I don't want to pray for the whole world, but I want to pray for the ones that want to get to the kingdom of God. I want to pray for those that said, yes, that's me. I'm the one that wants to go there. I want to pray for those that said, yes, me, that's me. Because my Father knows who you are. My Father knows who said yes. And I'm going to go before my Father and I'm going to say, Lord, answer them. Answer them. Keep them away from the evil one. Keep those away from the evil one that's trying to steal them out of your kingdom. You have put in them a hunger. Give that hunger to them. Don't let that evil one snatch them away. Save them. Make them one with you like you have made me one with you. He has done something special in my life and he gave me life. And I want this life for you. I want him to give this life to you. Those that are listening, I want you to have this life. If he's given it to me, he can give it to you. And if you said yes in your heart tonight, those that are listening, if you said yes, he knows who you are, and you're the one that I pray for. He has commissioned me to pray for you. And we together, if you continue to listen and believe, the words that I speak will lead you to the kingdom. It will lead you. But if you don't lay hold of these words, you won't have any support. You won't have any water to water you. My words are water. My words are life. My words will water you and make you grow. My water is the light, the shine, the sun. If you take a plant and you water it in a dark place, it's going to die. If you put a plant in the sun and don't give it water, it's going to die. You need the water. You need the light. You need the nutrients in the soil. I have it. This will give you life. Can't grow. You can't live without support. There are many people out there that think that they can have God on their own. They think that they can live life and fight these battles on their own. And they might have a little bit of knowledge of the kingdom. They might have some head knowledge in that area. But there's a mystery. And that mystery needs to have encouragement. It needs a witness. I'm only the witness. I'm only the encouragement. I'm not the spirit that dwells inside of you. You have it. You have the truth. You're filled with it. But you need the witness. If we can just have every head bowed for a minute, because I have my man up there giving me the signal. I got to end this tape. I got to end this message, but please log on for more. Please come here if you can. Show yourself. Whatever you got to do, let me water. Let me plant you. Let me tear up your soil. Let me bring sunlight in. Let me make you grow. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your word. I thank you, Lord, for your spirit. I thank you, Lord, for your life. And I ask and pray that you begin to start doing a work that every eye, every ear shall hear and see the words that I am speaking and put a hunger in them for and a thirst that they would want to know more. Lord, I pray, don't let one be lost. Don't lose one. I'll do my part. You do yours. That's our agreement. When you sent me back, I made an oath. You said yes. So, Lord, work. As I work, work with me and begin to touch those that are hearing. I pray. Amen and amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. Those that are listening, please continue to log on. I'm going to give Rachel over here, or Sarah over here, and she's going to close. Come here, Sarah. This is my girl who's going to say thank you for logging on.
Thank you for logging on. Keep logging on and have a good night.
Yeah, listen to her. Yep, my girl. Amen.